you know, still controlled Chevron, Texaco, Mobil, Exxon, which are two companies now, and I found out that the Rothschilds, you know, and some English royalty and Dutch royalty, basically on Royal Dutch Shell and British Petroleum. Anthony Sampson penned the Seven Sisters, pretty famous book. They're in that, well, I was before my thesis, back in the 70s, actually. But the Seven Sisters are now down to four companies, and I call them in this book, I think for the first time, the Four Horsemen. And it's stranger than fiction.
Now, the Four Horsemen, are they who are behind the entire invasion of Iraq? Obviously, it wasn't done because of 9/11. We know that now. That was just a pretext to be used to go in there. The word is that Saddam Hussein was going off of the dollar and onto the euro. But it's more than that. This has been planned over hundreds of years, this which is coming to its fruition today, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's all about energy. And, you know, food and water and energy are the three main components we need to live. And a long time ago, these people figured out that, you know, it takes a lot of money to put together an oil rig and dig down into the ground thousands of feet, or in the Gulf of Mexico. It takes a lot of capital. So it's a very capital-intensive industry. So it's one way. You talk about the electric buses getting wiped out and electric cars and so forth. Well, you know, one of the things is that if these guys can keep us on an oil grid, then it takes a lot of capital to get together a rig, not to mention a refinery or a, you know, plastic plant or whatever. And so it just takes a lot of capital. So, you know, early on, John D. Rockefeller paid off the railroads, and they gave him favorable rates, and he ran everybody else out of business, and he had a monopoly on refining oil, you know, as early as the 1880s. And then they passed a bunch of regulations that actually hurt the little guys in Texas and Louisiana, the wildcatters, and a quota system that basically went international. Well, they could afford to do that at Standard Oil, but these other guys couldn't. Supreme Court broke them up in 1912 because of a public outcry against the Rockefeller, you know, Standard Oil Company. But what in fact happened was these companies got stronger. They became separate companies, but they got more powerful. And what essentially happened in the year 2000 when Exxon and Mobil merged and Chevron and Texaco merged and BP had already bought Amoco, which was Standard Oil of Indiana, is you have an essentially a reformulated Rockefeller Standard Oil Trust. And yeah, these people took us to war. But it's beyond them as well. It's about oil. It's about drugs. I mean, look at Afghanistan. The Taliban wouldn't allow the drugs. They got booted out, and now the opium's flowing again. And it's also about weapons. Think of the contracts involved. And ultimately, it's about the international bankers who own the stock in all of these companies.
So if you have to get it down to the very brass nuts of the situation, then you go all the way back to the bankers who control all of these companies, who control the entire situation, who are in charge of the weapons, who are in charge of the drugs, who are in charge of the oil. And the interesting thing that I found is when you look at the board of directors of these companies, how interlinked they all are, the companies and the bankers.
Yeah, that's right. And essentially, you know, we're on a petroleum standard now. And so they do, you know, oil is a big part of sort of regulating, you know, well, right now it regulates the dollar. The reason the dollar, you know, dollar's on the ropes, I think the main reason oil prices are high is because the Bilderberg crowd knows they need a high oil price now to keep the dollar from totally collapsing. But yeah, you have eight families that, you know, according to several sources, control about 52% of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, and that would be the Goldman Sachs, Rockefellers, Lehman's, Kuhn Loebs, Rothschilds, Warburgs, Lazards, and Israel Moses Saif. And so not only do they own most of the New York Fed, they own most of the other Fed banks. In fact, Thomas Schauff says they own all 12 Fed banks. They also own the Bundesbank, the Bank of England, the Bank of France, the Bank of Australia. Every private bank in every industrialized nation that's going along with the program in the whole world. So incredible power, and nobody sees it. I guess that's the idea. But like you say, is it a conspiracy? Well, yeah. They sit there and they plan and they fix their place. And, you know, the dollar against the, you know, sure, it's a conspiracy. Everything's a conspiracy. Me and you decided to have this conversation today is a conspiracy. But, you know, the conspiracy, the word's been demonized. Because it's real. That's why it's been demonized. They don't want you to look. They don't want you to connect the dots. They just want you to think everything just kind of, oh, it just happened. Oh, gee, just must have just happened. Golly, we don't know what happened. No, it's all connected, and it's all happening for a reason. And people need to get serious, especially in the academic community, an area which, of course, is very much against looking at this whole thing. I ran into resistance even doing my master's when I started coming across some of this stuff. Some of my professors went, well, I don't know if we want to talk about that. Well, hey, it's footnoted. It's a fact. Why don't we talk about it? That's a scholarly pursuit of knowledge, is it not?
It's footnoted. It's a fact. Well, I want to cover that when we get back with Dean Henderson. The book is Big Oil and Their Bankers, a book that puts the worldview into simple perspective.
Don't go postal. Erskine will be right back.
Here at the retirement home, we always listen to Erskine overnight. It's all we got to listen to.
An expansion of a thesis that Dean wrote for his master's degree, Big Oil and Their Bankers. One of the things that Dean was mentioning just before we went to break was you were talking about how they had written about this is what they're doing, this is what's going on, and the conspiracy. Well, it's a conspiracy, but they're writing about it. This is what's amazing to me. They aren't really trying to keep it secret anymore. They are actually putting this in writing. They're telling about their plans, and they're sort of saying, hey, there isn't a doggone thing you can do to us. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we've done. They've got this in writing. So people who say it's a conspiracy theory, it isn't theory when they're putting it in writing in their own words. Am I correct, Dean?
Yeah, that's right. They are. They're becoming more and more brazen. Of course, it used to be for years and years these people just hid and, behind different names. And lately, you see David Rockefeller all over television. And they're basically coming out. And that's exactly what I think they're doing. It's sort of the final phase of their little, New World Order plan. And they're just flaunting it and throwing it in our face. And, what are you going to do about it? But, way back in... this stuff's been written about forever. In 1871, the Sovereign Grand Commander of the ancient accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, General Albert Pike, wrote this letter to this Italian guy, Giuseppe Mazzini. And Mazzini, his last name is an acronym for Mafia. So 33rd degree Mason here, he founded the Mafia. Pike went along and founded the Ku Klux Klan and conducted all the Indian Wars in the West. And he said in this letter he talks about this brotherhood that was planning three world wars. He said the first is going to destroy Tsarist Russia, create a communist boogeyman, which the bankers can employ to justify their interventions around the world. The second, he said, would be used to create Israel, which would become mercenary force for the international bankers, protecting the oil interests in the Middle East for the Rockefeller and Rothschild combines, which is exactly what Israel does on behalf of the city of London. And the third, he said, would pit the Arabs against the Zionists and culminate in a new world order completely controlled by the international bankers and their secret societies. And he said, and I quote, we must provoke a social cataclysm which in all its horror, everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will receive the true light through the pure doctrine of Lucifer brought finally out into public view. And I close quote. So... these guys have been, this is 1871, and if you start really researching this business, it's been in the works for a long time. And right now is the final phase, and that's why you're seeing, the National ID, the Patriot Act, they're really going to try to clamp down here in America, especially on our rights, because we are the one country that fought a revolution against the city of London and ostensibly won. And so that's always ticked them off. These people are always counter-revolutionary. They want to undo every revolution ever.
Against the city of London. Why do you say the city of London?
Well, the city of London, is basically a separate entity in Great Britain, and this is where the bankers, control everything. There's people that say when the Queen comes into the city of London, she kind of has to bow her head. And this is basically N.M. Rothschild Bank is the epicenter of this. This is where five banks three of which, in addition to N.M. Rothschild, that company has a stake in. So it's basically a Rothschild. Yeah, they fix the price of gold every morning. You know, they fix it. They call it that. They call it fixing. So they just randomly can just say, well, let's just call it, this is what it will be today. And so the city of London, this is where all the deregulation, I mean, there's no regulations. This is where all the oil money goes. The petrodollars from the Middle East comes into the banks in there. The drug money comes in via Cayman Islands, Bahamas, Bermuda, which are all British protectorates, kind of, you know, interesting. And the defense money goes in there. It all kind of mixes into this, you know, dirty money slush fund, and it goes out. Nobody knows where it goes, and nobody knows where it comes from. And it's basically a reconstituted Roman Empire. That's, you know, when the Knights Templar were forced to flee Italy because their deeds were being found out, all the gold they found below Solomon's Temple, the Pope had this Jacques de Molay hung in the 1300s. That's where we get Friday the 13th. Well, they took off for Scotland, and they got behind Scottish Rite Freemasonry and King James, and they basically now are lodged in the city of London. So it's the very same people that killed Jesus Christ. I mean, if you really want to follow this thing back, that's who's still running the world today. Amazing.
Okay, is it a Masonic conspiracy, a Jewish conspiracy, a Roman Catholic conspiracy, or is it just a money conspiracy?
Well, it's a money conspiracy. It's more about an international oligarchy that is, you know, bent on money and power. They want to take our power away and make us feel, you know, weak and useless and like we can't. But you can't call it, you know, a Jewish conspiracy, even though all these eight families, except the Rockefellers, and there's some debate on this, are Jewish, because it's not in the interest of the Jewish people what's going on. And you can't really.
No, as a matter of fact, it's an antithesis to Judaism, because they take Israel out in a heartbeat. They don't care
anything about
the religion. Now, when you're bringing up about the Masonic connection, most people who are Masons are good people.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, it's the Masonic element comes in this respect. And the book, I guess the interesting part about this book, a lot of people throw those names Rothschild out there. Well, this book, again, has 952 footnotes, and it shows the mechanisms through which they work, the different companies, the different... The Masonic role, basically, Masons, whether they know it or not, are officially agents of British intelligence. All the lodges in the world are warranted by the House of Windsor. And this goes way back, and it's still true today. And the way they're employed is through sort of the skullduggery, sort of the CIA drug stuff, sort of the, you know, the gun running. The Muslim Brotherhood is employed in exactly the same way and by exactly the same people. That's why it makes perfect sense that Al-Qaeda, which is part of the Muslim Brotherhood, and that's where their spiritual roots come from, is still being controlled by the CIA, and that's why we won't just go into Pakistan and smash them, because they're using these guys the same way they used Saddam in Iraq to sort of be a boogeyman. And now in Central Asia, closer to Iran, where the next big oil frontier is. And so Muslim Brotherhood, Freemasons, Illuminati, Afghan Roshaniya, the Knights Templar, all these groups that I talk about in the book, came out of the same Grand Lodge of Cairo way back, you know, in the temples in Egypt, Akhenaten, all that stuff. It's all connected. But they use these secret societies to sort of conduct their less legitimate business front is how it works. But, yeah, most of those people are good people. And they don't know what's going on. They're just doing bread and circuses. To kind of, I guess part of that's to keep the people distracted, I think. Which is
they don't really know what's going on. Now, the other thing is, how much is enough? Because these people have all the power, they have all the money, and excuse me, Dean, but doesn't it seem that there comes a point you say, you know, we're pretty well off. We got three squares a day. How many houses and how many townhouses? They've got all the money. And wouldn't you think that they'd say, you know, maybe we all just sort of sit back now and sort of relax, maybe take a little vacation.
We've
worked hard. We certainly have earned it. We control the entire world, or 80% of it. And when is enough enough, or is there more to their plan than everything? More with Dean Henderson when we get back on Erskine Overnight.
don't go getting your pantyhose in a bunch. Erskine will be right back.
Now that you don't have to kick dick around anymore, you're probably like all the rest. You listen to Erskine overnight, don't you?
Dean Henderson's book has over 900 footnotes. It's called Big Oil and Their Bankers. It isn't what Dean's saying. It's what these people are saying about what they're putting together. That's the key to it, isn't it, Dean?
You bet.
You're using their words. You are putting it together using their own words. So if someone's looking for somebody who's coming out with some pie-in-the-sky hypothesis that this is maybe what's going on, when it comes to maybe, you say, this is what perhaps is happening, but this is what they're saying. So
yeah,
you've got both ways to look at it. You're not coming out and saying, I believe this. You're saying, this is what they're telling you, people.
Yeah.
Wake up. Excuse me. I'm not saying it. They are. Here's the 900 footnotes. Look it up yourself.
Yeah, I try to not be rhetorical too much in this book at all. I try to let the facts, you know, just speak for themselves. And the long title of the thing is Big Oil and Their Bankers in the Persian Gulf. And the subtitle is Four Horsemen, Eight Families, and Their Global Intelligence, Narcotics, and Terror Network. And that's a long title, but I couldn't think of a way to say any with any less words. And if people can get a copy of that, I should give you George Green's number. It's 800-729-4131. Also, www.nohoax, that's nohoax.com. And then get a copy.
Give me that number again. How much is it?
Yeah, it's $22. Pretty good value for like a 536-page book, and it's 800-729-4131. Or www.nohoax.com. So you can get it, you know, one or two ways there. And George Green at Global Insights is putting out. He's a really good guy, very courageous. And you got to get a copy of his catalog if you don't have one. It's the best collection of books, that I've ever come across. So I'm really honored to be working with him.
I have it up on Erskine on radio.com, and I've got nomorehoaxes.com, which will get you there too.
Yeah, and, we'll get you, yep.
Right, and I'll make sure that we get the phone number, 800. Copy this number down. We'll give it to you one more time before we go off. 800-729-4131. And when you order a copy of Big Oil and Their Bankers for $22, tell them you want George to send you a catalog along with it. He'll do that. And you want a catalog of the other books that he has available and videos that he has available. Now, how much is enough for these people? Isn't there a point that you say, excuse me, I've got all the money and I've got all the power, and where do we go from here? What else are they fighting for? Are they fighting literally for Satan?
You know, there are some that say so. They're just, you know, I think really you have to look at the philosophy of these people and the fact that they're really not quite like us. I mean, they're interbreed for one thing. Over half of the last generation of Rothschild marriages were interbred marriages. They also been interbred with the Goldman Sachs and the Lehmans and all these people. There are some people who connect this back to the whole Anunnaki myth. You probably saw the Da Vinci Code. This is kind of the going. You can talk about how they're talking about it openly now. Well, that movie was the Illuminati talking to you openly, and I think going after the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church, for all its misdeeds, is probably the last organization on the world in the world powerful enough to stop these people or slow them down. And so now that they've used them for all these years, had alliances with them, you know, throughout history, I think they now want to despiritualize the whole planet. Basically, they believe in the divine right of kings, and whether or not, you know, they really are descendants of Jesus Christ through King David, like they think they are, via Mary Magdalene, via the Merovingians in France, the House of Bourbon, which connects them up to all the royalty in Europe that run the world, and they just think they have this right to rule over us because of this special bloodline they have, this sangreal. You know, whether or not that's true, it's probably not true, but that's what they believe. And so they really believe that you know, we're sort of just a bunch of stupid peasants, and they're these, you know, these kind of god kings, you know, that are entitled and sort of even responsible for lording over us on this earth. And then there's this other thing about the Anunnaki. I talk a little bit about this in my book. Zechariah Sitchin is probably the foremost author on this stuff. There's a whole bunch of academic PhD people studying this now, and it goes back to these Sumerian clay tablets that are found in the muck of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers at the mouth of those in Iraq. So interestingly, all that research is on hold because the war is going on. And I think that doesn't bother them because what these Sumerian tablets are saying, it was blowing people's minds, and they thought it was a bunch of gobbledygook. Well, some people started taking it literally, and they talk about these aliens that came down and basically did DNA experiments and how they were forced out of hunting and gathering and into agriculture because the aliens made them do it, you know? The gods made them do it, and one of the guys was named Nazi and all this crazy stuff. But who knows? But, you know, they're not like us one way or the other, and I don't understand where enough's not enough either, but... You know, there's a possibility, yeah, that these people are actually, as David Icke, you know, believes, and many others, I might add, who are listed, you know, in the book, that they are actually some sort of a, like a lizard reptilian race that's even, you know, that we're interbred with, or that they're just different than us. So who knows?
Well, it does seem like they certainly have a different type of an ethical situation, or no ethics whatsoever. And to further that, this last week they just had a major meeting, the Bohemian Society at Bohemian Grove, where they worship an owl, Montauk, and they apparently, from everything I've heard, actually have sacrifices and run around nude and drunk, and you've got people like Henry Kissinger and all of these top leading people from around the world who meet at Bohemian Grove over in California, sure. Which you're looking at, this is a 21st century. Is there something wrong with people doing that? So obviously they are not like most people, and they certainly don't have any understanding of what most people go through. They would certainly be a little more understanding and try to do more for the world. And then they ask Prince, the Queen's husband, I forgot what his, name is. Yeah, they asked him what he wanted to come back as, and he said he wanted to come back as a virus to reduce the population. This is another thing that they have in mind, is population reduction. They want to get rid of the useless eaters, and when you're looking at that, who's going to be reduced first? Well, it doesn't appear to be that they're standing in line to be reduced.
Yeah, that's right. There's a whole section in my book about this depopulation crowd, and that's why you can get a AK-47 for, you know, $49 in these West African markets and in Peshawar, Pakistan, same way. Now they're literally dumping these guns into these places and starting these brush fire wars, like Darfur's the latest one, and they incite all this stuff. And my book, you know, gets into some real detail. It goes through every CIA intervention, you know, through the last 50, ever since, you know, World War II, and talks about, well, what's really going on here. And Darfur is an example of, you know, even the American anti-war movement, again, is on the wrong side of this. Darfur is being caused by Chad, the government of Chad, which is basically ExxonMobil, because they own all the land there, and there's a lot of oil there. And so there's these rebels in Chad that keep messing with the Sudanese government. Sudanese government wants a truce. These rebels, who the CIA has been funding for years, also in the south of the country via Israel, will not sign a peace agreement. But we're being led to believe it's the government of Sudan that's behind the whole thing. These are almost every time you hear the news on CNN or something about some foreign intervention or something, you can pretty much take it 180 degrees and the opposite is going to be true.
We talked about that earlier. We'll be right back with Dean Henderson, Big Oil and their bankers.
We'll be launching those missiles in about 2 minutes, so don't you go away.
So why don't you just kick back and let's listen to Erskine Overnight while I puff on my favorite stogie. Hey now, I wouldn't lie to you.
We're talking with Dean Henderson. The book is Big Oil and Their Bankers. I have a little bit of a problem with the reptilian part, but I have no problem with the way a lot of Dean's book is footnoted and a lot of the details that are in his book, and he brings out things that I simply have not seen elsewhere. One of the questions that I've got for you, Dean, is as it's progressing now, the United States, you came off of initially saying this is the last bastion of freedom left in the world, and it may very well be. And it's disappearing quickly. What are you seeing here in the United States, and what can John Q. Public do with this information?
Well, you know, of course, 9/11 was the big catalyst. Chapter 20 of my book talks about, you know, that as a, basically an inside job, and saw the evidence I have that that was the case, and that provided.
Sure. Are we going to have another event like that, Dean? I hate to interrupt you, but are we going to have another one?
I think probably we are. I mean, that's what we're hearing right now is the desperate Bush, and you know, of course, his approval ratings were at 25% before the last one happened, and they shot up to about 80. Now we're back down to 25 again, so, and we want to get into Iran, because that's the key bridge between the Caspian Sea reserves and the Middle East reserves. We've got to have Iran. They're convinced they have to have their oil fields of Iran, which they don't have. They're nationalized. That's why they hate Iran. That's why they hate Iraq. They were nationalized. They're not nationalized anymore in Iraq. Well, the Shell's got control. Even though our boys fought and died, the British Dutch House Orange, House Windsor got the treasure, right? So there you go. But now it passed the Patriot Act. Now there's Patriot Act 2 that passed in 04 very quietly. This has that national ID component where your driver's license is going to have a microchip. Your passport's got a microchip now. I think what John Q. Public can do is basically put their foot down. I mean, if a police officer stops you, and ask you for your ID, and you're not driving like you did to me the other night. You say, I'm an officer, I'm not driving, and I'm not going to give you my driver's license, things like that. People got to start putting up a fuss. People got to realize we the people, we are the government. The government officials, the police officers, the Homeland Security, the military, the Congress, whoever, they're our servants. They work for us. And there's too much fear in this country. And, of course, 9/11 was used for fear, and it's all about fear. It's all about what John Q. Public needs to do is get over their fear and realize that we are rough-and-tumble people that came over here drinking whiskey and not shaving and shooting British people that were trying to run our lives. And that's who we are. That's who America is. And we're not, you know, so we need to, like, step up and remember some things about our history. Because despite the fact that, yeah, we're losing these liberties and these rights today, our Constitution says we deserve those rights. And we need to begin to defend that Constitution against the assault that's going on.
Do we have a Constitution left to defend?
Oh, it's there. It's there. The Supreme Court, of course, is the most troubling thing because now it's being stacked with these, you know, evangelical, you know, crazy right-wing, whatever these people are. We're basically beholden to Israel, beholden to, well, they're traitors. I mean, you know, people say, well, was Bush stupid? No, I think Bush isn't stupid at all. I think he's cunning, and I think he's a traitor, and I think he works for the House of Windsor. He's a blood relative. He's a cousin. The guy, you know, ultimately, him and Cheney are traitors. That's what they are. I mean, they're destroying our country, and it can't be an accident. It's got to be deliberate.
Well, Dean, they take an oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution, and then you look at what's happened regarding the Patriot Acts and regarding the loss of habeas corpus, regarding the loss of so many things in our Constitution that we held as sacred. The terrorists didn't win. The American public lost, and it seems to me like, to a large degree, people are waving the flag and been waving their rights ever since 9/11. Do you feel safer now than you did after 9/11? Well, perhaps you do. Nothing's happened. But who was behind 9/11? And look at the wars. Look at the number who have died. And for what? For oil? Yes.
Yeah.
For drugs, in the case of Afghanistan? Yes. But you attack a country that had nothing to do with it, and because to help the people now? Well, that wasn't why we went in there. We went in for weapons of mass destruction. We heard week after week after week, they've got weapons of mass destruction. Defeat them there or they're going to be over here. I don't think they have the foggiest idea to want to come over here. They just don't want us over there.
Yeah, and again, not only that, but we created Al-Qaeda. We created Al-Qaeda during the Afghan war against the Soviets, and I'm convinced we're still running them. 3% of attacks in Iraq are done by Al-Qaeda. And they're always the most gruesome. You know, Zarqawi, the beheader, the guy that just, you know, the guy that beheaded Richard Daniel Pearl in Pakistan, that was Al-Qaeda. That's CIA stuff. That's British intelligence. That's provoking us to hate Arab people. 99% of the insurgency in Iraq is genuine. It's kind of like if Canada invaded the United States, what would you do? What would I do? Would we just let them take over our country? I don't think so. So, you know, to my mind, the Iraqi insurgency, the genuine insurgency, that's our allies. They're fighting big oil. Now we need to get our butts in gear over here. If you're going to be patriotic, quit waving your flag. Put your flag away. Read the Constitution and learn to defend it. We have an obligation to defend the Constitution. That's patriotism. We do not have an obligation to defend a criminal president and vice president and on down the line in a military-industrial complex that has basically taken over our country, took it over in a coup d'etat in 2000, you know, despite the fact that Al Gore won the popular vote. That was a huge event.
I take the coup d'etat all the way back to President Kennedy when he tried to do away with the Federal Reserve System. More when we get back with Dean Henderson. The book is called, and it's an excellent book, it's called Big Oil and Their Bankers.
Erskine has gone to see a man about a mule, but he'll be right back.
Here at the retirement home, we always listen to Erskine overnight. It's all we got to listen to.
Talking with Dean Henderson. Book is called Big Oil and Their Bankers. Dean, question for you. How are they allowing you and George to put out this information? It seems like more and more people are getting more and more information out. Do they not care at this juncture, the big oil people and their bankers?
No, I think they care. I mean, I self-published the first edition of this book, and I sold out. But towards the end, the last 50 books I mailed out, about half of them got where they were supposed to go. George has already had that happen once. They're not, you know, this is the kind of book that is going to get under their skin because it's factual, you know, it's not rhetorical, and they don't like that when you can trace it. But, you know, bottom line is, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit in your corner and cower? You know, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, we got to get this truth out to people if we're going to change this country and if we're going to save this country. And I guess it's kind of like the Mexican revolutionary Emiliano Zapata once said, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees.
Well, the point that they have that where we're ahead is we have a lot more people. There are a lot more of us than there are of them.
That breaks down
to very few families, very few people, and they're controlling the whole game. And if America and the rest of the world would wake up and we'd see who our true friends are. Have we been dumbed down? Have we been to a point to where we no longer are capable as a nation of thinking? Or are you looking at it where you still have hope that Americans are starting to wake up, they are starting to stand up? The fact is, if you're watching television, if you're listening to most radio, you aren't getting the facts. You're getting propaganda.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Are they waking up, American public?
I think there's a segment of the American public who continue to get very, very sharp and savvy about what's going on. It's not enough, but I think that is going on. I think our problem is we do not have a political vehicle for this, you know, information. I actually ran for Congress in 2004 and won the Democratic primary here in Missouri's 8th District. But now I'm so disgusted with the Democratic Party that I just renounced my membership. And, you know, I'd love to see a Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich ticket, okay, stuff like that.
But
the progressives, the real progressives in this country don't have a party. We don't have a party for our viewpoint. The Democrats have let us down too many times. They're just a corporate bunch of thugs. I mean, Hillary Clinton is who they're backing this time. That's what Democratic friends of mine around here, you know, they don't understand. It's like, no, look, they back Bush and, yeah, beat him over the head with a, you know, stick and that kind of policy. And now they'll back Hillary Clinton with a bit softer touch, but still we'll be bombing third world countries all over hell, just like Bill Clinton did. I mean, the Illuminati are backing Hillary Clinton in this election. Make no mistake. So
if you look at the situation, you look at the situation, last election you had Skull and Bones Bush running against Skull and Bones Kerry. Excuse me, we had no choice. We're going to have a choice. We do have a choice in a few of the candidates with Dennis Kucinich, Ron Paul, and a few others. But America's waking up. And the reason I say that is look at the approval rating of the president, look at the approval rating of Congress. The number 800-729-4131 to get a copy of Big Oil and Their Bankers. Thanks, Dean, for being on Erskine Overnight.
Thank you, Erskine.
Sweet dreams. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, Erskine has left the building. So, until tomorrow night, sweet dreams.